I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 5th of October. And it's all things political this hour with Joan Walsh. Joan is starting today a brand new job. She's national affairs correspondent for The Nation magazine now. In the wake of yet another mass shooting last week, Hillary Clinton is today saying she would take administrative action if Congress fails to tighten the gun show and internet sales loopholes. Can this be done by administrative action? And if so, why hasn't President Obama done so? The Doctors Without Borders Hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan, was bombed this weekend. It was a U.S. airstrike that killed at least 22 people, including 12 staff members. Doctors Without Borders is calling this a war crime. We'll ask what has been gained from our being there for so many years now. Bernie Sanders is raising money nearly as fast as Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump and his beautiful polls, which he mentioned frequently to the reporter from the New York Times magazine who followed him to the second debate. It was in yesterday's Times. And Ben Bernanke is saying that the Wall Street executives should have been prosecuted for actions leading up to the 2008 financial crisis. So that's all things political. We'll be welcoming phone calls for Joan Walsh. And here's how you reach us on air today, 800-486-8655. We also want to let you know, in case you didn't know, that we're in a very important pledge drive, too. And for your contribution to this program, you can pledge at 888-202-2552. And we have one of those challenge grants going on this hour, up to $4,900. So it means you get double your money, which is really good. It's nice to meet that goal. So we'll get some more money, which is a good thing. Joan Walsh, our guest for All Things Political. She was previously at Salon.com as editor-at-large. She's also a political analyst for MSNBC, a regular on Hardball with Chris Matthews and All In with Chris Hayes. She's the author of What's the Matter with White People? Finding Our Way in the Next America, and co-author of Splash Hit, the Pacific Bell Park story about the building of the San Francisco Giants waterfront stadium. She has strong Wisconsin ties. She went to high school in Shorewood and is a graduate of UW-Madison. Joan Walsh, hi. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Happy new job.
Thank you. I'm very, very excited.
It's going to be good, isn't it?
It is going to be good. It's an exciting year, and I've loved The Nation for a long time. And, you know, I think I'm going to get to do some great things. So I just filed my first piece.
Oh, you did? What is it?
I did. It's looking at, you kind of previewed it, looking at some of Hillary Clinton's ideas on gun control, but also looking at the fact that this is one area, maybe the only area, where she is to Bernie Sanders' left, and how is this going to play out as the campaign goes on?
Yeah, well, let's start with that issue then. Yet another mass shooting, and it's resulting. There was a school in this area closed today because of a threat, and I'm sure this is happening now all over the country. It's disrupting schools.
Yes.
So let's talk about what she proposed and how she would use administrative action to do what she proposes to do, which is what?
Well, I think that's, you know, I think that's the best question. She's saying if they can't pass some version of the background check legislation that they were very close to passing after the Sandy Hook tragedy massacre, that she would do that through executive action. And I don't think, you know, I'm not a lawyer. Her staff has said they're reviewing it. They believe it's possible. I'm not positive it's possible. It would be hugely controversial, although that's not a reason not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be. And, you know, I think, as you said, it does raise the question of, well, if this is legally possible, you know, why hasn't President Obama done it? Should he do it? Now, you know, we know, and I'm not saying this to criticize the president. I respect him on this issue. We know that, you know, at one point he made it sound as though he couldn't do anything on, you know, deferred action on immigration via executive order, and then he did it. So, you know, I think that presidents and their staff's definition of what's, quote, possible and legal can change somewhat with their perception of politics. And if they think something is, you know, urgent and there's no legislative relief and that they do believe it's possible, even if it would be disruptive and controversial, they suddenly define it as doable. So, you know, that may be where we are with this. Or it may be that her lawyers are going to keep, you know, drilling down and not find a way to do it. I'm honestly not sure at this point, but mm-hmm. I like it as a gesture. I mean, certainly she's saying we should have the legislation. You know, she's putting these things back on the table. And I think the other interesting thing she's doing with regards to Sanders, not only because Bernie has opposed this, but, you know, in 2005, the NRA's top bill was making it impossible for victims of gun violence to sue gun manufacturers. And Bernie Sanders, as a congressman, voted along with the NRA for this immunity, and Hillary Clinton, as a senator from New York, voted against it. So she's also trying to put that back on the table, not through executive action, but you know, saying we've got to look at this legislation again. Now, all of this is very, very tough in this political climate, but I think, you know, the definition of leadership is not accepting the political limits that we see right now, but articulating an agenda and rallying people behind it. So, you know, it's an important step, but some people are going to say even that's not enough. I mean, you know, maybe we really need to look at even more, you know, serious restrictions. It's just striking that when you look at massacres when they happen elsewhere, in Australia, in Britain, and when serious action is taken on guns, gun violence declines. You know, there's definitely a cause and effect here. So hoping this is really going to cause more attention and more action, but it's hard not to be a little bit cynical after, you know, tolerated the murder and of 20, you know, 20 kindergartners in Newtown 3 years ago.
Yeah. But I was interested in Frank Bruni's column yesterday, in which I didn't know this was happening in Texas. They just passed this law in August that you can now, at public universities, do concealed carry anywhere you want. So you go into a classroom and you've got a gun, and professors are opposed to this, as are the administrations of these universities, saying it's going to change the way they teach. You can no longer have heated conversations, right?
It's got to. I mean, why do you want to put guns in the hands, even of just hot-headed college students, you know, people who might be disagreeing about politics or about, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. I mean, it's just insanity. It's just that this far-right mentality that has associated gun ownership with independence, and that, you know, it just goes along with a whole lot of other, you know, crazy anti-government notions, that at every moment we have to be vigilant, or else, you know, our Muslim Kenyan president is going to come into our home and steal our guns. So, you know, it's just a fever pitch of insanity and paranoia, when the real paranoia is in the hearts of parents sending their children, kindergarten or community college. Why are we letting this happen?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Bernie Sanders and money for a moment. Evidently, he is raising almost as much money in the last quarter as Hillary Clinton. What's with his campaign? What's the attraction? And is he a possible nominee of the Democratic Party?
I think he's a possible nominee. I mean, I think, you know, lots of things have to happen for that to occur, but I think he's showing that he's for real, and I think he's, you know, he's really he's making people excited about the issue, but those of us who are sick of the influence of corporations and super PACs and you know, rich mega donors on the process are just thrilled to see Bernie Sanders raising this kind of money with relatively small donations. So, you know, that's a sign of political vitality, and I think he's succeeded in making issues of income inequality and class and, you know, the declining opportunity, particularly for the middle and working class, and obviously for the poor, center stage. And he's not pulling punches, and he's not, you know, except on the issue of guns, you know, we've got to be honest about that. He doesn't calibrate his message to what he thinks is, quote, politically doable or expedient. He's really just talking about what he believes the solutions ought to be, not what, well, in this political climate, maybe we can't call for, you know, free college education, or, you know, single payer will never pass, so we've got to leave health insurance industries in charge of your health care. You know, he doesn't necessarily look at what's politically viable when he mm-hmm. talks about what the solutions are. And I think, you know, he's really showing that there's a constituency out there for you know, bold talk and genuine solutions, mm-hmm. not kind of focus group tested ideas about what might work.
And I guess we have to talk about Donald Trump. I read the piece.
Do we have to?
I guess we do, Joan, in the New York Times yesterday. It was quite a piece. I didn't know that these people mob him, and he's signing money for
he's
them.
He's signing
them
he money. I didn't know that either.
I know. One of them, a woman gave him a $100 bill, and he signed his name on it. Got a big kick out of it.
It's so funny, too, because he's a notorious germaphobe. He doesn't like to shake hands. But he, you know, he is willing to grab your dirty money. I mean, we all know money is like, you know, it's been everywhere. So it's anyway, it's crazy. As long as it involves money, Donald Trump is there. But you know, it's so funny because I wrote to the author. I know him a little bit,
do you?
And I said, yeah, he's just a great writer. And I said, you know, I really didn't think I needed or wanted or intended to read anything about Donald Trump. But you made me, and I'm glad I did. It's such a great piece, and I think people keep looking for that inflection point where we can be sure this is not going to happen, and he's going to go away. And you know, he's dipped a little bit in some polls, but nobody else is rising significantly, and those who have risen, are just as quote unlikely to be the nominees as he is. You know, speaking of specifically of Ben Carson. So, you know, I don't know. Everybody's waiting for people to come to their senses and for him to just start a slow, steady decline. And I'm not sure. I don't think we're there yet. So.
I thought a long time ago, and then I was proven wrong. And I said many months ago, I think it's going to be Marco Rubio. He would be the best candidate for the Republicans. He's very well spoken. He's young. He's energetic. And then, you know, he seemed to dip quite a bit. But I still think he might be the nominee.
I think it's possible. I think he, you know, he's still in single digits in most of the polls, but he has, you know, like there's a bunch of people who are hovering down at 1 or 2%, and we should just not even talk about them and just wait till they get out of the race. But really, progress in this second tier of candidates, the actual politicians in the mix, progress is sort of measured by climbing from 3 to 8 or 9, and that's what Marco Rubio has pretty steadily done. He seems to be, you know, along with or slightly above Jeb Bush, not quite into the double digits yet, Kathleen,
no.
So don't get too excited. That's what we're talking about when you're looking at signs of progress. Everybody says every debate, oh, that John Kasich, he's so sensible, he's compassionate,
you know,
he's really going to make his move, and he climbs from like 2 to 4 or 5, and then he dips down to 3. I mean, I'm watching all this, quote, movement, but it's barely perceptible because they're all in single digits. It's crazy, but you're right. I mean, Marco Rubio has climbed some and, you know, is either tied or above Jeb, and I think that does mean, you know, when the money people get serious, and assuming that they do, and they say, you know, we've got to get him, Trump, out of the race. We've got to get behind one person.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marco Rubio has a better claim to be that guy than Jeb Bush does. I mean, Jeb Bush just can't get out of his own way. He just seems like somebody who doesn't want to be president, or else has some disorder that keeps making him say horrible, idiotic, you know, politically disastrous things, and then having to say, well, that's not really what I meant, and it's really unfair that you're talking about the words that I said and claiming that I meant what I said, but I didn't.
And I know you've written about him quite a bit, and we'll talk more about Jeb Bush. I also want to talk about this U.S. bombing on the hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan. We have been there such a long time. I don't know if we've done any good, but Doctors Without Borders, we bombed a hospital there and left at least 22 people dead, 12 staff members dead, and Doctors Without Borders is saying this is a war crime and there is a great deal of outrage about this. How do we get this wrong? How do you bomb a hospital? And we'll talk more about Jeb Bush. What do you think about what Joan said and what Hillary Clinton said today, calling for substantial new limits on the availability and distribution of firearms? We have yet to talk more about Bernie Sanders, Ben Bernanke saying that people should have been facing justice and maybe jail time for what happened to the economy in 2008. Well, those are just a few of the things we're talking about. Join us. And what about Donald Trump? I've talked to a lot of Republicans the last few days who really are not very happy that he is as prominent as he is. does he make, if you're a Republican, does he make you nervous? Or maybe you're a supporter of his and can talk about why you are. So we're in the thick of the presidential race, and Joan will be for months now. She today started a brand new job, national affairs correspondent for The Nation magazine. Our phone number on air is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with our wonderful producer, KP Whaley, and this is also our Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. We have these great discussions. We're heavily into a political year here, and we're going to have wonderful, meaningful political discussions for quite some time. So your gift to this kind of programming makes all of these all things political discussions possible every Monday. Give now, WPR. Oops, I dropped my pen. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hi, KP.
Hello, Kathleen. Thanks to the 11 new and returning members who pledged last hour. We want to thank you for that.
Yes.
Those gifts.
Thank
you. And right now, Kathleen, we have a challenge grant in place, right?
We sure do. This is the hour to give because it's double your money, double your fun, double your programming
for everyone. Double your gift.
Double your gift. Up to $4,900.
Yeah, and the match is from current members, including 9 XM Leadership Circle members, Walter and Sandra from Madison, also the WPRA board, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give during this hour. So it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's one of those great hours, so pledge this hour. And when you pledge, you'll also be entered to win 2 tickets on a WPR trip. Donate any amount during our fall membership drive for your chance to choose your own adventure, Cuba, South Africa, or the Canadian Rockies.
This really is the time, right? You double your support for the program you love, and you also get into the drawing. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We talk about so many substantial topics, KP, don't we? It's just amazing during the course of a week, all that we're discussing. You want more than a headline. You want to participate in these discussions. We love your phone calls. So do our guests. We go in-depth on all of these issues. So if that's important to you, and I know it is, that's why you listen. Make your donation in support of all of these programs you count on. Again, it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. And this membership drive, you can also choose a new WPR water bottle as a thank you gift for your pledge of just $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more, and you support the programs, and you get this really cool water bottle.
Yeah, it's a 27-ounce stainless steel bottle with the WPR logo, and you can choose between 2 color combos, and you can see the color options at WPR.org, and you ask for yours when you call in, you make a pledge, and then you ask for it, 888-202-2552. So please, pledge now.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to South Africa, Cuba, or Canada. When you give, you're automatically entered, but you don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
Yes, and you can make your pledge right now to support the programs that you count on here at WPR. You go to WPR.org or you call 888-202-2552. I'm KP Whaley, producer for the Kathleen Dunn Show, sitting here with Kathleen, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Whether it's a $5 pledge or $25 or $105, all of it does add up, and we appreciate it and count on it for those gifts.
And we want to remind you, these things don't come around very often, so we have this challenge grant, we call it, here in the trade, for $4,900. Up to that amount, it will be matched by 2 very generous people and people from our 9XM leadership group. So that means it's double.
Yeah, this is
it's double your money.
If you can afford to pledge $100, it will be matched up to that $100.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And we can keep doing that all hour long up until we reach almost $5,000,
$4,900. That means this is this hour.
This is the hour.
They're all hours, but this is really the hour. 888-202-2552.
Yeah, especially if you're listening now to all things political, you mm-hmm. really care about state, regional, world, political right. events, and at WPR, you get all of that information and also the commentary and suggested reading, all these great things.
Yeah, you sure do. And we do this day in and day out. And you support the things that make your life more meaningful. And I know many of you have said that Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things. Think of the political. This is a whale of a political year. And think of what the state has been through for the last few years. It's been a whale of a political time here in the state of Wisconsin as well. So you get that. You also get fun conversations, great authors, news information in the coming year, political discussions, great analysis on the air, and your support will make us able to do all of that.
That's right. And again, our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now. So give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and support all of the great programming here at WPR, and it goes twice as far.
Yeah, it sure does. And also remember that water bottle when you pledge $12.50 a month. But we just want to reiterate, it's a double your money kind of thing. So up to $4,900. We're not halfway there yet. I think we can get there, but you just need to, what you need to do is to pledge.
Go to the phone right now.
You got to pledge.
888-202-2552.
Joan Walsh is our guest for All Things Political today, and she just started a brand new job today, National Affairs Correspondent for The Nation magazine. We have many people on hold. We have a lot of other issues to get to, but I didn't want to leave you behind. So let's go to Pauline in Milwaukee. Joan, our first caller for you. Hi, Pauline.
Hi. I guess it's more of a comment versus a question, but, you know, with Hillary Clinton and her so-called proposals, it just seems really odd given that, you know, the recent shooting, the one in Sandy Hook, you know, neither of those would be prevented by what she's proposing. You know, those guns were bought legally. And so it just seems like more political posturing. And I think that just adds to the climate where people like Bernie Sanders and people like Donald Trump are gaining ground, because I think just people are tired of people like Hillary just kind of blowing to the wind for every opportunity.
Well, one of her proposals today would actually close the loop, the so-called Charleston loophole that let Dylan Roof, white supremacist Dylan Roof, get his guns because the background check wasn't completed in 3 days. If the background check had been completed, he would have been denied his guns because he had a felony conviction. So, you know, I think to say just because these really necessary changes wouldn't have, might not have stopped two of these horrible massacres, but they would have stopped others, that doesn't tell me that these are not necessary reforms. So I don't believe that this is something cynical on the part of Hillary Clinton. These are positions she's fought for her whole life. There are lots of things to criticize her on. She was too cozy with Wall Street. You know, we can have lots of debates on economic policy, but on this, I don't really know why someone would suggest that this is a cynical move on her part. I happen to think it's a very urgent and necessary one.
Thanks, Pauline. Carl in Madison. Hi.
Yes, hello. I was just watching with my son a taped episode of Saturday Night Live from this year. We were looking at some of the Republican presidential contenders, particularly Donald Trump, and just kind of shaking our heads at this just schizophrenic and strange time that we're living in where, I mean, on Saturday Night Live, there was Hillary Clinton being poked fun at for the very things that she's represented, but still showing up on the show because it's a way to kind of get out there and be cool and, you know, make your name with the younger voters. I don't know. But as I was talking to my son, I was just this grouchy old man, and I was just thinking, you know, what in the world is our country coming to? And he said, you know, Dad, it's true on the, you know, mainstream media level, it just looks like a circus. But in my high school, he's a senior at West High School, there are really healthy and wonderful communities of kids. It's just not mainstream media stuff. You can be who you are. You can claim an identity that years ago would have been taboo to claim, but you can claim it in a healthy and wholesome way. And he was just talking about his lived reality as very different from what we're presented on the front page or in the sound bite. So I was just curious your thoughts and also the guest's thoughts on, is there a possibility that these healthy pockets, I mean, your show is one of those really healthy pockets, can gain ascendancy again, and we can retain some semblance of the common good and who we are as a citizenry, or are we just going to be stuck with this surface noise at the top, which really doesn't represent anything about the best of who we are, and yet we can't seem to struggle past it?
Joan.
Well, great comments, and I think we should remember that we there are all kinds of, you know, healthy pockets in this country. You know, I now my daughter's out of college, but when she was in college, you know, she was actually boasting she was president of Fordham University College Democrats, but you know they sponsored joint debates and events with the college Republicans, and they seemed perfectly able to disagree and debate without demonizing each other. And you know, there are lots of us in our families able to have decent conversation. And certainly, you know, when you talk about what your son is growing up seeing and the freedom available to so many young people that wasn't available 20 or 30 years ago, we have to remember the ways in which our society has gotten better. And yet right now, you know, the political landscape is just dominated by people who have no interest in finding common ground and have decided, you know, preceding President Obama, but certainly under President Obama, that success lies in blocking progress and demonizing Democrats and you know, pretending that the demographic change that's happening in our country isn't happening. So, you know, individually and at a community level, we're so much better than our political leaders appear to be.
Let's spend a moment talking about this horrendous airstrike in Afghanistan. Doctors Without Borders Hospital, they're calling it a war crime. The Pentagon, of course, is saying, well, there may have been some, I hate this term, collateral damage. Collateral damage is 12 staff members and 22 people killed at a hospital. How did these things happen? You can imagine the ill will it must create in Afghanistan. And the other question, Joan, is what has been accomplished there after all these long years?
Well, right, because, you know, what's happening is that we had pulled back, but now Kunduz is falling, and therefore U.S. military forces are getting more aggressive in, quote, supporting the Afghan forces because they are not defending the territory. But what's really, I mean, it's so tragic, Kathleen, because really, to go back to the last caller, you know, if I could point to one organization that is just pure goodness and
yes,
what we all
yes.
want, our, you know, our culture, the best of our global culture, it's Without Borders, so it's not American by any means, although Americans participate. Doctors Without Borders is what you want in the world, and so for this to happen is so tragic, but it's very mysterious because they are so skilled at what they do. They are so skilled at working in war zones. They carefully communicated their coordinates to American and Afghan forces to say this is exactly where this hospital is, and now, you know, there's some claim that, well, we were told, we had really good information that there were actually insurgents there. Well, you know, I don't know. How careful do you have to be? Maybe, what if there were a couple of insurgents, but there were 200 people, you know, 100 staffers and 100 patients doing good? I don't know. We really don't know the whole truth. We just know we keep hearing stories like this. There's too much, quote, collateral damage. It then turns people, Afghans and other people who might support the American cause into enemies of America, and it's just gruesome.
Yeah, it is. And we've been there so long, I'm not sure what we've accomplished.
Right. I mean, if to the extent that we accomplished some things, they all seem to be being rolled back, or most are being rolled back.
Joan Walsh is our guest for all things political here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. She just started a brand new job. She was at Salon.com for quite some time, and she's now the national affairs correspondent for The Nation. She's going to be writing political commentary several times a week for the website and also doing a lot of reporting for the print edition of the magazine. She will be doing a lot of reporting on Donald Trump and the meaning of Bernie Sanders' surge, and is thrilled to be with a magazine that's been around for 115 years and will allow her to take the long view of many of these stories. We're welcoming your phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. 800-486-8655 for you to join our All Things Political conversation. But we have a real busy hour because we're also in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. KP Whaley is joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee, and our goal is to keep bringing you All Things Political. We've done this for years now, and it's a staple of our afternoon programming here once a week. Plus, we talk politics many other days as well. Well, it's you and your support that makes all of this continue. So give now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is the number to call, KP.
Yeah, and you're going to want to call right now, too, because right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members, Walter and Sandra, and also from the WPRA board. So your gift right now of $50 becomes $100. Your gift of $100 becomes $200.
Excellent.
It's the time to make the pledge. So double your support right now when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And if you pledge any amount this drive, you are automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could do a cultural tour of Cuba. You could go on an adventure in South Africa, a train trip in the beautiful Canadian Rockies, and you don't have to donate to enter. You just go to WPR.org for all the details. Double the impact of your pledge. Enter the drawing. Here's how you do all of that. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, when it comes to the Ideas Network, the expression talk is cheap really doesn't hold true because, first of all, on the Ideas Network, you get this high-quality information and political analysis. You also have to understand that these conversations aren't free. It takes a lot of resources to get those discussions on the air. And that's really where you come in. You enjoy this high quality talk, you support it, and you do that by making a contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this drive, you can also ask for this new WPR water bottle. It's stainless steel bottle. It's in light blue with a yellow design.
Kind of a retro-looking design. It's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a brewer's design. Brewer's retro, too. Yeah, but it's WPR. But you can think about the brewers, too, when they get better. Or you can do dark blue with a light blue design. Show your support for WPR. Ask for this bottle when you give $12.50 a month, $150 or more at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You know, all of us around here really enjoy public radio, and they love the pledge drives because this is when public radio really means listener-supported radio.
Right.
While we appreciate the business contributions and the federal and state tax dollars that we receive, listener support still remains the single largest source of WPR's budget. So your contribution of any amount really does contribute, and it really does matter. So please make a contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm John White. Let's talk about public radio. I've been listening to public radio for about 15 years. Civil discourse makes public broadcasting all the more valuable because it sifts out the noise, the anger, and agenda setting of commercial media. That's why public radio is my source for the gold standard in fair and honest discussion.
Joan Walsh is here now, All Things Political. Joan is National Affairs Correspondent for The Nation magazine. Jeff in Madison is our next caller. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I have been really enjoying Bernie Sanders' rise, but I must say I don't want to pop anyone's balloon, but if you dig into his record, as a friend of mine did, on gun control, the balloon is leaking badly. And if you look at Slate.com in May 2015, they report on his anti-gun control votes. He even voted against the Protection of Lawful Common Arms Act, which basically protects manufacturers. It has nothing to do with protecting hunters' guns. It protects them from lawsuits when their guns were used illegally. And I was just appalled to see this. It's just so... Maybe everyone else knows this. I didn't, but I have a feeling this may be why Hillary Clinton is now talking about gun control. And I'm wondering what your guest has to say to it. I'll listen off the air. Everybody contribute. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. And from what I've read, there are some problems for him. But he also last week said, Sanders, that is, the president is right. Condolences are not enough. We've got to do something. We need sensible gun control legislation. And then Sanders said he supports banning assault weapons and closing the loophole that exempts private unlicensed gun sales from background checks, known as the gun show loophole. His problem may be with previous votes, Joan?
That's right. He voted against the Brady bill, which, right. You know, people can't really believe. He has said on many occasions that he thinks a lot of the limits should be left up to the states. But on the other hand, he did, you know, he voted for the 2013 bill in the wake of Sandy Hook. He does support closing the gun show loophole. I think, too, the issue is one of tone. You know, he made a great statement after Charleston, but he talked mental health, not guns. He actually told Bill Maher last year that when it comes to these horrible mass shootings, he thinks mental health is a bigger issue than guns. And he kind of brags about the fact that he's a socialist who's been able to get, you know, elected in a very, not a conservative state, but in a state where maybe you wouldn't expect, you know, because he takes some unorthodox positions and he listens to people who disagree with him, and he's been willing to stand up for the rights of gun owners and hunters. And, you know, that's all, it's laudable that he's been politically savvy and has gotten elected and reelected. On the other hand, he's running for president now, not for president of Vermont, and the nation needs somebody, I think, who's much more willing to talk about the gun crisis as exactly what it is and consider even tougher restrictions. So I think it's a problem. I don't think that Hillary Clinton is doing this because it could burn Bernie Sanders, so to speak. I think, you know, the times are calling for it because we've now had, you know, with Charleston and Roanoke and now Roseburg, we've had three horrible shootings, on the air in 3 months.
Yeah.
So I think it's that, not politics. But people are free to disagree with me on that.
Oh,
one.
Joan, don't you think it's all politics now? Really? Really? Just a little bit of political consideration.
Definitely.
You know, a little bit. Let's get back to Jeb Bush for a moment. You've written some, I think it was somewhere in South Carolina, where he was talking about the Republicans perhaps needing more African-Americans, but then saying something that certainly didn't make African-Americans want to join his camp. What did he say, and what has he said about multiculturalism?
Well, you know, he's always claiming that he's going to be the guy who's going to open up the party and widen the party, but in South Carolina, you're right. As he was saying, we've got to reach out to African Americans, he then added on, we've got to let them know we're the party of freedom and opportunity, you know, and earned opportunity, so to speak. He said earned opportunity, not, quote, free stuff. Now, this is a guy who's the scion of a wealthy political family. Dad and brother were president. Grandfather was a senator. Wealth for days, wealth for generations. Talking about free stuff and earned opportunity. I mean, what is he thinking? And right, he came out against. One day he's speaking Spanish on the campaign trail, and then defending that passionately and beautifully as respect for other cultures. And then the next day he's taking the opportunity to say we shouldn't be a multicultural country, you know, everybody should speak English. So he really can't, you know, my heart almost goes out to him, because I think, you know, compared to a lot of people who are running on that side, he's probably a kind of a decent guy, and his wife is Mexican, and that makes his kids of Mexican descent, and he has said some very positive things. Then he's got to pander to the Trump voter, to the Trump demographic. And so he undoes all the wonderful things he does by saying these crude things about multiculturalism and about black people wanting free stuff. I mean, he just can't get it right.
Yeah. He's probably not going to make it, is he?
I don't think he's going to make it. I mean, he's got a lot of money, so he's going to, you know, he's got more money than Marco Rubio. He's got more money than Hillary Clinton. And we don't know how much money Donald Trump has, but he's got plenty. But, you know, he's got the kind of money that does let you play the long game, but not if you keep shooting yourself in the foot. And, you know, at some point the big donors have to say, look, Marco Rubio looks like a better bet. You get Marco Rubio. I mean, he's got lots of problems, too, and certainly politically I disagree with him, but Marco Rubio is not stepping all over his message constantly. And Marco Rubio does present an interesting, I think he does cut into Hillary Clinton's Latino, Hillary or Bernie's Latino vote a little bit. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's going to make it. I really don't. I could be wrong because money matters. But.
Well, what about, this was an interesting quote from the pollster for Howard Dean's 2004 presidential race, Paul Maslin, who was quoted in yesterday's paper as saying, establishment Democrats like Hillary, and this could be true of the Republicans as well, could end up heavily outspending people like Sanders. Jeb could outspend Marco Rubio and others. But it may not matter as much as usual because voters are searching for someone off the beaten path.
I think that's true. I think that's definitely true. And, you know, on the other hand, in a long slog where, you know, where money does matter, I don't know. I really, you know, the thing about Barack Obama is that he combined the message with prodigious fundraising and just an unbelievable level of organization. And I don't see anyone doing that. You know, Bernie has the message and Bernie has a surprising amount of money. You know, we're still, Bernie's organization is still untested. You know, Trump sadly has a message. We're not sure about Trump's organization. So, you know, it's still really early. We're just, you know, we're blessed that we've got a lot of different candidates. We're blessed that, you know, in the Democratic primary, we're talking about a genuine, in my opinion, liberal running against a socialist. For progressives, it doesn't get much better than that. You know,
what a year.
So there's a lot to be optimistic about, and we're going to see, you know, we're going to have our first debate, and we're going to see how everybody does, and it's going to be interesting.
Yes, it is. Reed in Clintonville, hi.
Oh, yeah, hello, and I would say my wife and I are sustainers and proud
Thanks,
to
Thanks, Reed.
Be.
Thank you.
Listen, my comment is this. This morning on Sky News, my wife and I were watching a piece on the destruction of Palmyra. Palmyra is a World Heritage site which is being systematically destroyed by ISIL. And I would like to let everybody know that the development of ISIL and the tragedies that they are inflicting upon people in that area can all be laid, and nobody in the media, and I would hope Joan would explore this, nobody in the media speaks to the issue that every bit of this can be laid at the feet of Dick Cheney, George Bush, their minions, and toadies, because we would not have had any of this to this extent had not they destabilized that area.
Joan?
I agree. I mean, I was just looking at pictures of Palmyra, and it breaks your heart, and the refugees coming out of Syria break your heart as well, and we don't have nearly enough attention to the fact, you know, everything's on, should Obama have, you know, drawn a red line and blah, 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 but really the original problem came from Dick Cheney and George Bush, and we did have that one moment where, remember, a student actually confronted Jeb Bush about it and said, this ISIL is your brother's fault, not Barack Obama's, and that is absolutely true, but it took a young college student, not, you know, anybody moderating a Sunday show, to say to Jeb Bush's face, this happened on your brother's watch, not Barack Obama's. But it's just unbearable to watch, and I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, it's a huge problem for whoever takes over and for the person who's still there. Joan Walsh, all the best on your new job. I'll look forward to reading you.
Thanks, Kathleen.
And seeing you on TV still.
Yes, definitely. Still with Hardball, still with MSNBC.
Good.
So,
all right.
So thanks a lot for all your support.
Yeah, have fun.
Joan, okay, pledge, everybody. Come on, pledge.
All right, thanks. We will. Thank you. Pledge. Joan Walsh, our guest for All Things Political, which you always hear on Mondays, and she starts a brand new job today. She is now National Affairs Correspondent for The Nation magazine, and she is a regular commentator on MSNBC, Chris Matthews' show, and also Chris Hayes' program. And I want you to pledge, please. I'm Kathleen Dunn. KP Whaley is joining me here, and we are in our fall membership drive. It's a chance to show your support for all of the programs you listen to throughout the year. So take take the step and donate. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's right. And now, you know, if you're a fan of all things political, you certainly want to pledge during this show, this hour right
Absolutely.
Now. Absolutely. We're on pledge shows all week, but we definitely want to make sure that people recognize that if you appreciate good political discussions, guests like Joan Walsh,
mm-hmm.
Then you want to definitely call in now. 1-800, what's the number again?
I know. I forget the number on air sometimes.
It's 888-202-2552.
What was that again,
KP? It's 888-202-2552. You can also pledge online at WPR.org.
Great. And when you pledge any amount, you're also entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip, and there are some good ones coming up. You get to choose Sample the Music and Art of Cuba, experience South Africa, or see the beautiful Canadian Rockies. And you don't have to donate to enter. It would be nice if you did, but you don't have to. Go to WPR.org for all of the details. Double your gift and get entered in that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And another reason to pledge this hour is we have that new WPR water bottle. So if you give $12.50 a month, that's $150 or more, then your donation will support the program you count on, but also you'll get this water bottle to take home with you as well. It's a beautiful stainless steel thing with a new WPR logo design on it.
Excellent.
888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
We've had some great comments. Jake from Madison, this is my favorite one, says, WPR is the cat's pajamas. Don't you like that?
That's good.
We have a cat's pajamas.
I also like Michelle's comment from Alma Center. She says, I love Kathleen's show, and I frequently listen to the archived shows as well. Proud to be a WPR supporter. We're proud to have you. And you can join Michelle and Jake and others by making your donation now, 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've been on vacation or your car radio didn't work and you felt like something was missing when you couldn't listen to WPR. We've had people who've been gone for 20 years and they come back and say, oh, it's so good to be home again. I can listen. They didn't know about the internet, I guess, or, you know, it was difficult. But people really have a sense of familiarity, of history with this station, which will be 100 years old, unbelievably, next year or the year after. When you see how happy you are to have familiar voices and programs back, that's when you realize that we're in your life. Make your pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And as you know, we spend a few dollars a month on TV streaming.
Oh,
maybe you
yes,
have
sir.
Hulu. Maybe you have cable. All of that. Also, every day you do it because you get information and entertainment. Well, you do the same thing here. You get wonderful entertainment. You get amazing news and quality information. So if you've never given before, start with maybe a gift of $5 a month. That's about comparable to Netflix. So maybe a little more if you can afford it. It's easy to set up, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Sheila from Cambridge says, I love the programming. It's tough to find thought-provoking, intelligent content that does not rely on distorted or sensationalized material. I love your participation, too. It's wonderful to have an audience that's engaged. You call, you know things, you appreciate the guests that KP and Scotty find,
and the guests
valuable
often,
service.
Yeah, the guests often come back and say that as
yes,
well. So
they
we
do.
Hear that all the time. Your listeners are wonderful. We love to be on the show again.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that good? That makes you feel good. Well, that's all the time we have, except I'd like for you to repeat the phone number.
Yes, it's 888-202-2552.
Or you can go to our website,
WPR.org.
And there we ask you to make a gift to us.
Make a gift this hour.
Thank you. Thanks, KP. News is up.